Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
All right, welcome to another edition of the, does anybody say edition anymore? That's weird. Welcome to another installment of the Career Author Podcast.
That's much better.
I'm Zach Bohannon, and with me every single week, every installment is Jay Thorne. What's up, dude?
I'm here for every segment, dude.
I like that. We do have segments. We do have segments in our show. So what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Doing all right. Yeah. Really grateful for some of the nice comments and messages we've gotten over the past week, specifically around the Story Levels announcement. And it's good stuff. It's exciting.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's like you said, it's been really cool to get everyone's feedback and stuff. And cause that's, you know, that announcement is a big deal for us, and we've been kind of holding that back for a little bit, and it's something just really exciting and, you know, kind of a different avenue for us, like we talked about last week. So thank you everyone who sent in comments, and congratulations and all that stuff. That's really, really awesome. Yep. So cool. So today, our topic, we're going to talk a little bit about how to get more writing done. So this is basically just, you're not getting enough stuff done. You don't feel like you're getting enough writing done. Maybe you're having trouble making the time to do it. We're going to kind of give some tips and such about that. But before we do that, we want to remind everybody that the Career Author Podcast is brought to you by all our patrons over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And for as little as $1 a month, you can support the show and gain access to our 2 monthly bonus episodes, as well as so much more. You can become a patron of the show by visiting patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And we have this week, we've got Leanne Beckett, who upped her pledge. So thank you, Leanne. And then we have a brand new patron, Brandy Henry. So thanks, you guys. We definitely, definitely appreciate it. And Jay, it looks like here we also have a, you want to talk a little bit about our Patreon Q&A thing here?
Yeah, I thought you were going to go somewhere else, but I'll be prepared for that one.
Well, let's stick on Patreon for a second.
Yeah, just a quick reminder that we are, if you guys have enough Qs, we'll bring the As for the for the collaboration essays that we posted to Patreon. So if you had questions specific to those essays or collaboration or our collaborative process, please get those to us ASAP, and we will record. Because what we're going to do is take that feedback, and if there's good reason to make some changes, we'll do that before we do anything with the book. And also, we'd like to publish a patron-only Q&A around those essays. So if you have any questions about that, was it 7 installments? Something like that, I think
something
it was.
Like that, yeah.
7 episodes, 7 posts. Yeah, go ahead and leave us some questions on that. You can message us. You can... We're easy to find, you know, however you want to do it. If you DM us through Patreon, that's probably the easiest way.
Yep. So definitely, if you have questions about that series, which of course, that's a Patreon exclusive, so you have to be a patron to have seen those essays. Leave us that. And also, of course, we will be doing our regular Q&A this month as well, which you can really send us questions for that whenever you want. That's a Patreon exclusive as well. And okay, so the thing you want to talk about even more, I guess we can go ahead and let you jump over and make that announcement.
Yeah, we are excited to bring another author into the Molten Universe Media family. This is really exciting. I'd like to introduce C.R. Vine, also known as Christine. Christine is going with C.R. Vine as her pen name. And what's really awesome is that you and I met Christine at the StoryGrid Level Up Your Craft summer get together back in September in Nashville, and she's like a she's a force of nature. Like, would you agree? I mean, like, she has a, she has an energy and a presence that's sort of like unstoppable. And
it was cool. It was cool. Me and a lot of people there, but I honestly just want to talk to her all the time. Like, when she walked away, I was bummed. I was like, oh, man, I want to keep talking to her. She's really, really cool.
So. Yeah. She's got this really great energy about her. She's incredibly positive and she's a professional in every sense of the word. And we've gotten to know each other and you've gotten to know her a little bit since then. It's been, you know, I don't know, 6 or 9 months. And I've worked with her on some of her writing and she's fucking good. Like her writing is excellent. And I can't wait to see what she does for Molten Universe Media. And I'm really excited about sort of helping her launch her independent publishing career. She's been published in other places, but she really wants to kind of make a go at it on her own and be indie. And what's really cool is we just added her to the Slack channel and she's already in there talking to the guys about Pantera. So it's like, it's a great fit already. Brogan's already making Pantera references and Christine's right on them. So it's going to be a lot of fun and we're really excited to have her. She's going to write a little piece for Story Levels, something around character wants and needs, because it has to do with what she does for a day job. So there'll be more coming on that. But man, we're just so excited to have her become part of the family and get to work with her in a different way. So it's going to be great.
Absolutely. It's been really exciting, obviously, building this roster of authors. And I think we pretty much have our first like batch of people kind of filled out, which is nice. So it's been really exciting. I'm really stoked to work with every author that we've signed so far and see what they produce with us. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Definitely. So welcome to CR Vine.
Absolutely. Welcome, Christine. We're so glad to have you. So with that, we'll go ahead and move into our ways and hacks for the week. And the hack that I, Zach, have is going to kind of this is going to kind of blend into what we're talking about this week. And I also will say that that I have a feeling there's gonna be more about this type of stuff later, because this has been a really hot topic for Jay and I lately, has been kind of decluttering our digital life. And so this kind of ties into that a little bit. And again, I'm sure we're going to talk more about this later, because we've both kind of gotten really extreme and really, I guess, really more of the word is intentional about our the time we spend in front of screens and stuff. So, but I want to talk a little bit today about dedicating a device to writing. So, I personally feel like it's really important for you to have a dedicated writing device, like something that, you know, doesn't, like, let's say you have a day job, like, and you have a laptop that you use for that job. Like, I don't think necessarily it's a good thing for you to use that same device to, because you're going to have all your work applications on there. Your work email is probably going to be on there. Like, there's just a lot of distractions. And
well, ethically, there's a question there too. If you have a computer and your employer has provided it for you to for them, and you're using it for your own purposes, it's not illegal, it's not unethical, but it's kind of in one of those gray areas where it's probably not a good idea.
But yeah, and no, I'm really glad you said that, and obviously that's just one example, but I also think that you know, even if you have like a personal home computer and you know your son or daughter has all their computer games on it and all their other stuff, and like, to me, that's just like, it's just a lot of distraction, and it may not seem like a big deal. And for a lot of people, it honestly might not even matter. For a lot of people, you might actually be able to be on whatever computer, right? But I feel like that by having a dedicated device, it really your brain will associate like, okay, I'm on this computer, it's time for me to write and get my work done. It's really just a thing you do with your brain, because our brain makes associations like that and that'll make more sense in a minute too. When we talk about some other stuff. But like, I can tell you for me, and this kind of blends in what I was saying a minute ago, you know, my computer that I work on here, like, only has apps that are for, my business related stuff for my author career. So I don't have any games on my computer. There's no distractions, nothing else. It's just stuff I need to do writing with. And you know, this is kind of going into other things, but you know, recently I've really decluttered my phone and taken like email off my phone and taken even like YouTube off my phone and stuff to kind of, and that's like, if I want to watch YouTube, I have that on my tablet, which I usually keep in my office. It's just trying to keep separate devices for separate things and that are dedicated to the certain things you want to do. And it's really helped me personally, like spend my time more wisely and doing, you know, especially not having stuff on my phone and all that, has really helped me. And I believe it also helps me again with my writing, just getting more done by having like a dedicated device. So I don't know if you agree with this necessarily, Jay. Like I said, I don't think it's necessarily for everybody, but I think for some people specifically, like if you are feeling distracted and stuff, this is definitely something that can help you out.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it, honestly. I think it's really good advice if you can afford multiple devices. I think it's probably not bad advice. I know a lot of people only have one device. You know, that's budget wise, like that's what you can do. I think I come at it from a bit of a different angle, in that I'm a pretty strict minimalist, and I want as few devices as possible. Like I have one laptop and that's it. And like, I don't have to, like, for me, I don't worry about like what device is it on or where I am. It's just like, I know I have to take that one device wherever I go, and that's it. And so for me, it's a little bit of sort of an organizational thing, where I don't have to worry about like maintaining multiple devices, you know, upgrading, updating, you know, that kind of stuff. But I do think that there is some real value in creating a dedicated device to block out distractions. And one of the ways that you can do that with only one device is, and I don't know exactly how this is done on iOS, but I know it's super simple with Windows, is you create a separate profile. And you log in under your quote unquote work profile, and you don't give yourself access to anything except what you need for work. And then you log out of that and you log into your normal or your entertainment profile, and then that's what has all your other stuff. So that's a way you can simulate a single dedicated device if you only have one.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, cool. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our main topic, which is how to get more writing done. So basically, you know, this is kind of, if you're not getting as much writing done as you want to, like, what are some things you can do to be more productive? And, you know, for a lot of people, some of this stuff might seem like kind of obvious or whatever, but I think for some people, it might not necessarily. So, you know, I just want to talk about some things, or I guess we want to talk about some things, I'm sorry, that we believe you can do in order to, like, you know, be more focused and like come to the desk or the coffee shop table or wherever you're going to be, like, ready to get your writing and stuff done. So, first thing, and we've talked a little bit about this on the podcast before, I believe Jay actually had this as a way before actually, is that we really feel strongly, that you need a dedicated environment to write in. So,
yep.
Like, and this isn't just, I mean, this is basically scientifically proven that this makes a difference. So, kind of as I mentioned a second ago, the dedicated device, which again, like, there's ways you can get around that, and I do think that's kind of optional for some people. I really don't think dedicated environment is an option. Like, I really think that your brain is really will really associate a task with different environments. So, for example, if you always sit in your living room recliner to watch TV, your brain is more than likely going to think about watching TV whenever you sit in that chair. So it's probably not the best place for you to do your writing or do reading or whatever. And I mean, really, like, I will say that ever since I did some study about this, I've tested this and I've kind of consciously thought about it, and or maybe I've looked back and thought about, like, when I've tried to do things in different places in my house, and like, this is true. I mean, like, you really do associate different specific spots, you know, just like, you know, for example, like, if you sit down at your dinner table, that's where you always eat with your family. Like, more likely you're going to associate like eating with that place. I mean, it's just there's so many examples. I really think that it's important to have a dedicated space where you can train your brain that it's time to work. And so some examples of that is a home office. If you know, if you have an extra room in your house, if you can spare a room to have an office, as Jay and I are fortunate to be able to do, that's a great thing. A specific desk or chair in your house. So maybe you don't have a you can't have a dedicated office, but you can get a desk in the corner of a room or something like that. That's a good place. Coffee shop, library. Like I really feel like if you can't have a home office and maybe you can't get a specific desk in a unoccupied space, you know, you got kids running around, the wife, there's something like, I strongly feel maybe if you can, it's a good idea to try to get out and go to a coffee shop or library and somewhere that you don't have, like, obviously those places can have distractions because there's people around, but you're not going to have your spouse asking you what you want for dinner or your kid coming up to you asking you, you know, like if they can get this toy after school, whatever, you know. And then furthermore, like, make sure that space is clear of any distractions which can hinder your productivity. So like, don't have your smartphone around. Don't have a tablet around. Don't have video game systems hooked up to your monitor where you're working. You know, try not to have a TV in that room. Family members shouldn't be around, et cetera. Now, Jay, I know you're a really big fan of dedicated environments. So is there anything you want to add to this?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is that there's a corollary with sleep science, in that a lot of the research on sleep science right now is saying that the bedroom should be for sleep and sex, and that's it. You should not have a television in there. You shouldn't bring your devices in there. You shouldn't bring your phones in there. And I cringe when I hear or see, you know, although I don't see as much anymore and not being on Facebook anymore, but, you know, authors who like take their laptop in bed, and I'm like, oh, that's a terrible idea. Like, that is, you're so confusing your body on what's supposed to happen there. And, I know it feels luxurious and I haven't done it very often, but I do think that there is definitely something around a dedicated space. And as you mentioned, it doesn't have to be a dedicated room. It just has to be a dedicated space at a specific time. And that will really help you to get the words out and get more writing done.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. So the next thing is to schedule your writing time. So, you know, be intentional about scheduling your writing and stick to it. You know, if your attitude is just, you know, oh, I'm going to, for instance, like, I'm going to write before I go to work, or I'll get some writing done this day or whatever, like, then you're not going to do it. Like, so, you know, every single, when I worked my full-time, or when I worked a full-time different day job, like, I scheduled my writing time. I knew that I was going to wake up at, I believe I either woke up at like 4:30 or 5 to make sure I got to this coffee shop by my job at 6 o'clock. So I could beat traffic to get in and all that stuff, because Nashville traffic sucks. And so I knew what time I was going to wake up. I knew what time I was going to get to the shop. And I knew that I had until about 7:15 to get writing. And so I had an hour and 15 minutes. And that's how I also spent all my lunches. So I knew that every single day I was going to eat really quick, or usually I ate at my desk actually while I was working, so I didn't have to spend any of my lunchtime eating. And then I write. So I think it's really important to be specific. So, you know, again, say every weekday I'll wake up at 5:30 a.m. and I'll write between 5:45 and 6:30. Don't just say I'll write before work. I think that's really important to be really intentional and specific. And as an author, remember that writing is your most important work. So you should schedule your writing time before any other author-related tasks, or dedicate your writing time one day a week to knocking out some other important tasks. So what I mean by that is maybe like 4 days a week, between 5:45 and 6:30, you write in the morning, but then on Friday, you spend that time to do other things you need to do, like run ads, do mailing list, you know, put in mailing list blast out, do administrative work. Social media does not count. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. So don't spend that time tweeting and Facebooking. Like, it's get your real admin work done or be writing. So I think it's really important to be intentional about scheduling that time. So, anything you want to add here?
Yeah, I'll just add that whether it's writing or working out or meditation or yoga, I think the sooner you can do it from the time you get out of bed, the higher chance there is that you're going to do it. I feel like the longer you're awake, the more resistance kind of builds up. And if you start and you say, okay, I'm going to write at 5:45, but then you hit snooze and you don't get up till 6:15 and you're like, ah, I'll just write on my lunch break. And then your lunch break rolls around and, you know, someone else got it's Taco Tuesday. And so you have extra taco and you're like, oh, I'll write after work. And then you get home and so on and so on. And then it's sort of a double whammy because you don't get your words in and then you feel shitty about it. And then it sort of sets you back for the next day because you feel like you have to make up something. So whatever your routine is, whatever time of the day you get up, it doesn't matter. But when your day begins, if you can front load the words as close to that time as possible, you're more likely to get them done.
It's also, you're leaving open loops. So like if you don't get your writing done, then when you're at your regular job, you know, you're going to be thinking about, oh man, I didn't get my words in, blah, blah, blah. And then, like you said, you know, by the time you get to lunch, maybe something really shitty happened at work and your boss yelled at you for something you did. Like, how are you going to be able to focus and get your words done?
Right.
At that point? You know, so it's good just to get those things done early. And you mentioned exercise too. Like there's a lot of stuff behind that around, you know, it'll set you up better for the day. You'll make better eating choices. You're going to have more energy, all that stuff. So really, I agree with you. Like, you can really apply this to multiple places in your life when looking at things, you know, prioritizing things that are important to you, which leads into the next thing I was going to say, which is if you want to be a career author, you have to make this a priority. So what I always say, and I say this now, and I said this when I was a personal trainer and worked with people in that way and stuff, I always said, you know, if something's a priority and it's important to you, then you're never going to have to make time to do it. I really go a little nuts when people say they don't have time or they have to make the time or something. Like, I never had to make the time to write. Like, I just knew I was going to get up earlier before work and I was going to get it done. So if it's really important to you, you have to make it a priority. And another thing is, you know, like you have to, so if you, let's say you really don't feel like you have the time, well, what are some things you can eliminate from your life or do less of so that you can write more? So some examples is like when I was building up my back catalog and I was like, I quit playing video games. Like, and so people listen to this podcast, a lot of know me, know that I'm a big video game person. Like it's a big deal. Like it's something I really enjoy doing. Well, I had like 4 years where I didn't touch a controller. And because it was more important to me to get to build this back catalog and work towards my goal of becoming a career author than it was to sit around and play video games. So it wasn't until I went full time. And after the first few nights, I was like, wow, I have all this free time now. Like, wow, I should go buy a video game console again, that I decided to do that once I kind of hit my goal of becoming a career author. So, you know, maybe another thing that I cut back on, which I know this isn't a problem for Jay, was social interactions. So like I went and hung out with friends. I'm not saying I didn't hang out with friends at all. I'm just saying that it was a lot easier for me, knowing this goal I was working towards, to, you know, maybe not, go out on a Friday night or whatever, when I had some time, I could actually get some writing done. Or a big one is, I mentioned earlier, I used to write on my lunch break. So like a couple of my best friends, one guy who's still my best friend, they would always go out and like play basketball and stuff on our lunch breaks. We had a basketball goal at work and I always had to say no. And they'd make fun of me and pick on me. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but like, I'm going to write these books instead of go play basketball, you know? Yeah, think about things you can eliminate and do or do less of that really aren't helping you work towards your goal.
Now here's another example, because I'm in the middle of Cal Newport's Digital Minimalism, and one of the many really insightful passages in that is talking about social media usage, and the data on the average social media usage, the average is 50 minutes a day. That's the average. Now, when you think about the average, you have to combine the really high-end users with the fake accounts, right? So that's the average. So realistically, out of the people who regularly use it and who are real people, it's probably more like 2 hours a day. And that's combining Facebook, Instagram, Snap, Twitter, like Pinterest, whatever, any and all of those. The average person who's on social media probably spends anywhere, let's say, an hour to 2 hours a day. Well, think about how many words you could get done if you did, if instead of being on social media, you wrote for an hour or two every day. So it really is about sort of giving up, it's giving up things you enjoy for things you enjoy more.
And I'll add to that. So one thing I did recently that ties into that is, if you're an iPhone user, you could, and they just added on one of the newest updates, a screen time feature that tells you how much time you're spending. It tells you everything from how many times you pick up your phone to like how much time you're spending on specific apps. And when I saw how much time I was using, I was on YouTube, I was like blown away. And I was like, wow, I'm not going to have YouTube on my phone anymore. And I'll tell you when I knew it was really a problem is after I got rid of YouTube and I would pick up my phone and swipe to where it was on my phone looking for it without even thinking about it. And I was like, wow, that was obviously an issue because I'm mindlessly scrolling to go look for it. And now it's not there. So like, and ever since I got rid of it and a bunch of other apps, like I barely even pick up my phone. And my average time is like down like 60% now or something of how much I even look at my phone, which is awesome because I'm getting, you know, way more stuff done. I'm spending more quality time with my daughter and doing more stuff that I love and stuff that's important than like just mindlessly scrolling through my phone. So definitely look at that screen time app. I know a lot of you out there are probably scared to look at it. It'll seriously blow your mind when you're like, wow. Cause then, and we'll kind of get in this in a minute, like instead of picking up your phone to go on Instagram and scroll through or something, maybe you pick up your phone and you open Scrivener or Google Docs or whatever, and you spend 10 minutes writing and you get a couple hundred extra words in that you would not have gotten in otherwise, you know? So like, there's a lot of other things you can do. So just real quick too, to talk about a couple of methods, and this is just to kind of really reach more people to things you may have thought about. I know a lot of authors love using Pomodoro method. I know Jay, you don't use this. I don't believe. Right. And I've gone back and forth. It's been, I've had a lot of success with this in the past, but I've kind of changed my idea on this, but I know this could actually, for some people, this might be a cool thing, but if you've never tried writing intervals and you're having trouble getting stuff done, or maybe you feel too distracted, the Pomodoro method or using intervals to write in is, I believe, a pretty good thing. So basically you'll set a timer for, say, like typically it's 25 minutes and you'll work for 25 minutes and then without like no distractions, don't look at your phone, nothing, like don't have the timer on your phone. Let me just say that right now. Have the timer on something else, like have a physical timer or use a Amazon device or something to do it. But you do 25 minutes and then follow that up with a short break where you can, you know, whatever. And then the timer should be automated where it'll start again after 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. And then you do another session. Again, this isn't something that either of us use, but I have had luck with it in the past and done really good with intervals. And I think if you're kind of in a time crunch situation, I think this can be good.
Reason I'm not a big fan of Pomodoro is because I don't feel like 25 minutes is enough time to get into deep work. And if you're constantly being interrupted at 25 minutes, I think is prohibitive, but that's if you have big chunks of time. So if you have like a Saturday afternoon and you have 3 hours and you can write in 3 hours, I don't think Pomodoro is good to constantly interrupt you every 25 minutes. But if you only have 30 minutes to write before you go to work, then I think having that time constraint can be really helpful.
Yeah. I think this one specifically, I mean, I'll just admit I'm more of a distracted person than you are. So it's harder for me to, I've gotten better at it, but it especially used to be harder for me to just sit down and just work for like an hour, 2 hours or whatever, and like stay in that deep work without, being distracted. And what this would help me do is keep me from, it would keep me focused for a specific amount of time. And like, if I thought about, you know, and again, this is something that I don't really do anymore, but like, if I would think about checking my phone or looking at my email or something, like I'd be like, no, like I'm not going to do that. I can do it on my break. Now, again, I wouldn't even suggest you like stop and look at your email or look at your phone or something on your break. So, but I guess my point is that like this is kind of for people who are maybe having trouble staying focused for larger blocks of time, which is not you. So, yeah. So Jay's maybe just saying, just work on being more fucking disciplined. But no, in all seriousness, I do understand where you're coming from though. So, but, and I do think if you have a shorter block of time, then having a timer can be a really good thing to keep you focused. So, but at the end of the day, just sit your ass down, right? that's kind of the attitude that we have now. And, you know, like I neither of us worry about word counts. Like I know a lot of people are going to tell you to track your progress. I kind of think that's bullshit. Like, I think that it's like, if you have the time set aside, like if you have your time scheduled, you're going to make progress within that time as long as you're doing the work. So don't worry about word count.
Well, it comes back to systems versus goals. We're not goals guys. We're systems guys. And if your system is in place, then the words will naturally be there and you won't have to set goals and be disappointed when you fail to reach them.
Whether you're trying to lose weight, be on a diet, write more, whatever you're trying to do, like having a system is way better than having goals, you know?
Yep.
So, and just to kind of finish up here, I wanted to talk about, you know, some extra time you can write. And some of these things were really, 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 really huge for me when I, you know, did not write full time. So like, and I'll be transparent. I don't do this stuff now because it's my full-time.
I was going to ask you about dictation, if that was something you did mostly because you could do it in other places or if it was because you liked the process of dictating.
So, yeah. So let's talk about dictation first. Dictation, yes, I did it more because I wanted to get more work done than I actually enjoyed it. So I really don't do dictation anymore.
Okay.
Some days I do, like, you know, for me now, it's actually more of a health thing than it is a trying to get more stuff done. So like, if I just want to save my wrist a little bit or my hands, like I will dictate, but usually I'm doing that here and with the microphone. And like when I was working a full-time job to get more stuff in, as I've talked about before, I would dictate in the car. Like, so I had a long commute to work. And I would a lot of times by the time I got to the coffee shop in the morning to start writing, I already had like 500 or 600 words in just from dictating. So that's a hell of a head start before you even sit down in front of the computer.
Definitely.
And I would usually like, you know, import them real quick and stuff. And I wouldn't edit them yet. I'm always would make a note. So when I did my path netting, I could go back and make sure the transcription was accurate. But dictation's a really good thing to use if you are, you know, not getting as much work in as you want. So again, if you have like a commute, whether it's in a car or not, you know, there's a famous story about Chris Fox, how he used to commute, you know, waiting in line for the bus or the train or whatever to go to work. And he'd be sitting there talking about his urban fantasy werewolves and zombies stuff and like around, but he didn't care, you know, or, you know, if you're at the gym or whatever, you go on walks in your neighborhood, you can dictate where you're walking and get more words in and also be exercised at the same time. So I do that one occasionally. I do occasionally dictate on my walks. But it's very rare now that I do that. Cause usually I use that time to get away from work now to go walk and like kind of free my brain up a little bit. So, but dictation's a really big one. Again, I've talked about this before too. You know, if you have Scrivener or Google on your phone or something, you know, you can get more words in when like you're waiting in line at the grocery store, or if you're in the doctor's office waiting on your appointment, or taking care of biological needs, like whatever. There's a lot of different places that if you have Scrivener or Google Docs or something on your phone, you can get a lot of writing in it. It goes back to, you know, instead of let's just say it, instead of like sitting on the toilet scrolling through Instagram or something, you could be, you know, writing, you know? This next one, I'll go ahead and say, even though it contradicts something that you said earlier, and I personally don't do this one now. And you can shit on it because it's totally fine. is Monica Lionel and her book 8-Minute Writing Habit. And I know you're not gonna be shitting on Monica. You're
no,
just on this idea. Because we love Monica, but she had this thing in her book 8-Minute Writing Habit about how she would keep, and I don't think she does this anymore either, but she would keep an iPad with a keyboard next to her bed. Mm. And every night before she went to bed, she would write for 10 minutes and could usually get in like 500 words or something. And that adds up. So, but I almost think with this one, like, cause I do agree with you. It's probably, even if you're someone who's full time, I think when it's time to go to bed, you shouldn't be staring at a screen, you know, the 10 minutes before you go to bed. But maybe
it's supposed to be 3 hours. You're supposed to put screens down 3 hours before you try and fall asleep.
So
scientifically, yeah.
So, but maybe, and I don't have any necessarily examples, but maybe there's a maybe there's somewhere else you could put an iPad with a key, maybe by the toilet. I don't know. and you could do this or whatever. But, whatever. It is a trick that I did use for a while and did enjoy, even though it probably did interrupt my sleeping without me knowing. So this maybe isn't one I would necessarily recommend as the way she put it. So
no, and I think too, like it really depends on your situation. Like there are people who can maybe only have 10 minutes a day. That's all they've got, and that's what they've got to write in, and that's what it is. Like there's nothing you can do about it. But I think I think we're coming back more to center now. Like it used to be, there was sort of a time where dictation was kind of looked down upon. Like that wasn't quote unquote real writing, which is bullshit. I don't understand that. But like for some reason, people thought, writers thought, well, dictation isn't writing. And then it kind of swung way in the other direction. And then the focus on was how many words an hour, how many words an hour. Everyone was hyper focused on how many words an hour can you get? And wow, if you dictate, you can get 50,000 words an hour or some, you know, ridiculous thing like that. And I think that wasn't healthy either, because then you're focused on the quantity versus quality. And what you realize is that if you dictate, you still have to clean it up. And so now I think it's kind of swung back in towards the middle where some people are using dictation, others are not. Like I know I've used dictation before. I don't now. Like I've typed so many words, and I'm not bragging. Like this is just the reality. I've 2 million words in different places. And I now have that muscle so finely tuned that my first drafts are super clean. And if I were to dictate it, I can get 1500 words done in about 30 minutes if I sit down uninterrupted. I could dictate those probably in 20, but it's going to take me another 20 to clean it up. So I'm not really that far ahead. And I think, like I said, the focus on like hyper productivity and an extreme word count is not nearly as beneficial as we thought it was maybe even a few years ago.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of authors who I've seen it talked to have kind of, a lot of them have even moved away from, you know, looking at word counts and tracking stuff and all that. You know, it's just, it's more about just sitting down doing the work, and you're going to make progress naturally. And so don't get caught up in stress and all that crap. I know a lot of authors still do it and still believe in it, but I think in the end, it can be a hindrance for you. And, you know, cause if you go to write 3,000 words and you only hit 2,500, 2,500 is still a damn good writing day for the average person.
Yeah.
For the above average person. So like, you know, just cause you didn't hit 3,000, I mean, shit, like, be happy with 2,500.
Well,
like,
I think too, it comes down to what you have. If you only have 15 minutes, then you have to write in those 15 minutes. But if you have an hour, I think doing 4 sessions is a mistake. Or doing like a session writing, a session something else, because you have the mental switching costs. Your brain has to stop what it's doing in that process, switch to something else, stop that, switch back. So I don't necessarily think those writing sprints are good unless that's all you have. In that case, then you absolutely should do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree with you on that for sure. So, all right. Well, I guess that about does it. So, I guess we want to mention, you think we're going to have any Sci-Fi Seattle seats by the time this airs?
Well,
should we mention it?
Yeah. I mean, I think We have, let's just say, less than three at this point. We have a few sort of in the balance, but this is Tuesday, the day we're recording it, and this show is going to go up Thursday. They might be gone by then, which is a great problem to have for us. Unfortunately, if you are considering it and didn't jump on it, you might be out of luck, but there could be, when you're listening to this, there could be. So if you're really interested and you're listening to this on the day it comes out, you should check scifiseattle.com right away and make sure that it's still available. There might be a ticket or two left by the time this airs.
And I guess it's good to mention too that we do have a virtual ticket option available. So if you do miss out or you just can't make it, there is a virtual ticket available that will basically get you, it'll give you the opportunity to submit a short story to the anthology, and you'll get recordings of the world building sessions and all that we're going to do. So you can check that out as well, because those are, the virtual tickets are unlimited, though we will have a cutoff date for those, but that'll be later on. So.
And that's, it's the exact same thing for Rock-A-Poc. So if you are interested in running Post-A-Poc and can't, and that event sold out, you could get a virtual ticket and submit and get the recordings and stuff from that. And the same thing for Sci-Fi Seattle.
Yeah. So what are those links, Jay?
SciFiSeattle.com and Rock-A-Poc.com.
Thank you. I knew them. I just wanted to call that back over to you. So that'd be pretty sad if I didn't know them.
Yeah, they're pretty simple.
Pretty simple. So check those out. And again, if you want to come to Seattle, you might want to go look really quick because we're selling out really fast. But other than that, you can go check out all the stuff we're doing over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And we will talk to all of you next week.
See ya.
Later.